The common denominator in all of your problems is you.
Nobody's coming to save you. If they help and assist and you haven't saved yourself, you're still drowning.
Pretty much everything is your fault. Even when it's not your fault, even how you react ends up being your fault.
Why do my actions keep leading me here?
I don't care what everybody else has going on. Hesitation stops all progress.
Nobody else is taking accountability.
It's always been me versus me. Being able to take accountability has been me not giving up my power to something else that has nothing to do with me.
Get on my motherfucking face.
Please.
Push the goddamn button.
Action.
So we just watched this video on YouTube of David Banner. I don't know how old this video is, but it just popped up on my timeline of him talking about he talks to Method Man. He wanted a feature from Method Man. And pretty much, long story short. What is long story short?
James Clear, Atomic Habits, 2-minute rule.
Okay.
Show up, even when you don't want to.
Okay, I thought you were going to use, like, actual sentences.
Oh, well, I was just trying.
That man was speaking bullet points.
Pretty much, he was talking about, this is what he said. He said something that Method Man told him, because it was a period in his life where he just couldn't sleep. And he had watched Method Man's growth, and he called him up and was like, telling him about that. Method Man was like, I've been through that. I've been there, man. I woke up and I started going to the gym. And he said that Method Man told him.
Mm-hmm. What did he tell him?
The common denominator.
That's the bottom. It's hot down there.
The common denominator in all of your problems is you.
Fire.
Man be dropping bars when he ain't even trying to drop no bars, man. It's crazy.
Takah Wally.
And I felt like that was such a profound statement, because a lot of times when we think about our problems, we think about all of the factors that are outside of us that are causing, or that we feel like are causing these problems. And a lot of times we don't actually take accountability for the fact that this is our problem. Sometimes we go looking for help from other people. Sometimes we just feel like we're drowning and we don't know what to do. But from what he said, he was like, the common denominator is you. You have to change you so that you can change your reality, your perspective, your environment, whatever you feel like needs to be changed. It all starts with you. So what are y'all thoughts on this?
I agree with it. The first thing that I learned when I started healing was nobody's coming to save you.
Mm.
It holds true. People come to help and assist, but they help and assist. If they help and assist and you haven't saved yourself, you're still drowning. So, like, if you're drowning, they could throw you all the life rafts, all the boats could come by. People could swim. It takes you to...
You gotta reach up,
like,
and grab
you gotta
it.
Yeah, you gotta use the stuff that they give,
mm-hmm,
in order to, yeah. So it's all on you. Metaphor for life. Message.
Message.
I agree with all of that. I was gonna say, for me, I think it started with similar sentiment when I was reading As a Man Thinketh, and it was, sorry, it took me a second to realize what I was about to ask, about to say. But when I was reading As a Man Thinketh, it was just the idea that everything is. Pretty much everything is your fault, even how you react. Even when it's not your fault, even how you react ends up being your fault.
Mm.
So just taking accountability of, in order to change your outputs, you got to change your inputs, that kind of thing. Or
garbage in, garbage
come
out.
Come on, you know the saying. But...
That's all! That's all I got.
But yeah, I think, who was it? Felicia Rashad, she was saying one of the affirmations she used to say was that inner reality creates the outer form.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that'd be super accurate.
Yep. Nikki said new form. Your inner reality creates your new form. Come on now.
Okay. So.
I am not a barb.
I'm just gonna ask you guys, at what point in your life did you realize that you were the common denominator, or you had to be the one to change before everything else had to change. I know you said when you started healing, you realized nobody's coming to save you. Like, what, I guess, what was going on? What was happening in your life around that time?
Essentially, I'm an adult. And I'm a man. I'm a black adult man. Not too many people coming to save us.
Okay.
That's the logic. Like, bro, that might be the logic.
You know, that was such a serious statement, but you set that up like it was a joke. And I'm doing my best not to laugh. Because that's very serious. But yes. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, that might be it.
You just had that realization one day?
Yeah, no. At the end of the day, I'm an adult. Mm-hmm. And my previous actions led me to this. So I'm the person who has to figure out why do my actions keep leading me here? Mm-hmm. At a certain point, it's a thing of I keep ending up in the same spot. No matter how much help, assistance I get, I always end up in the same spot, mm-hmm. the same mindset, feeling the same exact way. So it gotta be me. Mm-hmm. So, read a book.
And then another book. And then another book. And then a library.
And then I started a book club. And then I read another book. And then another book.
Then it eventually clicked. And now you have Breeze 2.0.
It's finally beginning to click. Finally beginning to click. Like, I'm just at the beginning stages of it clicking. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I kept ending up at the same point. Sometimes I was a little lower than others. Mm-hmm. But
essentially the same area.
Like, it was just like a perpetual cycle. Mm-hmm. I was making sure perpetual was the actual word that I was supposed to be using. Yep. It was a perpetual cycle, and it just kept happening. Mm. And I'm like, I'm never going to be happy, because I'm always going to end up in the same spot. And at some point, it's like, okay, I don't know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Oh, and that's another thing. Once I realized I don't know anything, it's easier to take help. Well, selective help. Help from the people. Okay, and stop taking help from a lot. There's a lot of things happen, people. Mm-hmm. A lot of realizations. You gotta stop taking. Okay, let's rewind. Slow down. Breathe. First, I realized that nobody's coming to save you, right? Mm-hmm. And then I realized that I need to think my own thoughts, because I don't want to be like the people who thoughts I'm thinking. Because the thoughts that I'm thinking, that they're thinking, aren't even their thoughts. It's just my perception of what I feel like they're thinking. And then,
that made complete sense,
like,
to me.
I was so serious.
Did y'all get that? Did you get it?
I think I got lost in thought on one of the thinkings. And so I'm just trying to think about where.
So
he said he was.
He was thinking that the other people was thinking this way. So he was trying to think in the way that they would. Mm-hmm. But it turns out they weren't actually thinking that way. It was just his imaginings. Mm-hmm. So he needs to create his own thought process and his own thought pattern so that he can get out of this perpetual cycle.
Mm-hmm. That's what you said?
That's what I said.
You need to think a new thought.
Perpetual cycle of not thinking my own thoughts. So you got to spend time with yourself, understand who you are, how you want to be, what you see for yourself. What am I actually here to do? And so essentially, even in those thinkings, I'm taking advice, imaginary advice, and actual advice from people that I don't even want to be like. Mm. So now I'm still being led down a path that I don't want to be. Mm-hmm. Like, somewhere that I don't want to be. I'm supposed to be on 17th Street. I keep ending up on 5th Street. Because I keep listening to people or taking advice from people or thinking 5th Street thoughts.
Yep. Some might call them broke-ass thoughts. That's what they
message.
That's what Rachel Rogers.
Rachel Roy.
No.
Chef.
No.
No.
She wrote "Playing Your Year Like a Millionaire." Right. I think her last name is Rogers. I feel like that's also not her last name, but I think it is her last name though. Anyways, but she called. She said, "Stop thinking of broke ass thoughts." Yep.
Tomato, tomato, tomorrow. Yeah. Tempe.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, I had to figure out where I was going and understand, just understand me, meet myself, and then, yeah, do some healing. That goes back to self-esteem.
Okay.
You got to have a higher self-esteem to trust yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. We'll link that episode up here. Well, what about you?
For me, I came to a similar conclusion. I think what happened with me, for me, it started with, what book? It did start with As a Man Thinketh, and I read a bunch of books. I read The Alchemist, all of that stuff. I remember the pattern that I would have was I would start to do stuff and I would get momentum, and then I would forget why I was doing it for so long, because I'm very good at being consistent at something to the point where I forget why I'm being consistent at this.
Mm.
So when I was reading The War of Art, I was consistently, I'm writing every day. I'm doing this every day. And then we moved. And then one day, which is similar to the James Clear thing, but one day I had stopped for a reason. I forget what the reason was. I stopped doing it. And then the next day I was like, you know, why was I doing this so consistently? And I would just kind of forget the reason that charged my entire motivation. Mm-hmm. And so what would happen would be I would start and I would be doing great, and then I would stop, and then I would look around and see what everybody else was doing, and I'd be like, all right, what am I supposed to be doing? And then I would get back on track and then be like, all right, now I'm good and I'm going for a long stretch. And then I would be like, wait, well, why am I doing this again? And it's like that consistent process of me having to remind myself why I'm doing the things that I'm doing was what was happening. And I think now I'm finally in the space where I don't care what everybody else has going on. I'm just narrowing my focus. And even if there's a moment where I'm questioning why, not to stop to question why as I'm still in the process. Like, all right, let me understand why I'm doing this. Let me understand why I'm doing this as I'm going. Because I think a lot of times I would stop to try and assess, well, why did I do this? What was my motivation? Well, it's like, just keep going. And I think one of the things that I learned more recently about progress is that hesitation stops all progress.
Mm.
Right? So the idea is to keep the momentum going, right? So if you're, and try to keep the momentum going in a positive way, because you can have negative momentum and it builds, and it just builds. So you make one bad habit and you end up habit stacking on top of bad habits. And now it's like you have which is something that I wish James Clear talked about in the book a little bit, but shout out to James Clear, Atomic Habits, but he might have, I can't remember. But just garnering enough momentum so that you can keep going. Because the second you start hesitating, you start losing momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And there goes your progress.
That's good stuff.
What about you?
So, for me, I would say first book that kind of triggered some of the thinking was As a Man Thinketh. But it was like a hard read. So I didn't know as much as I know now. So, or I hadn't experienced as much, or I wasn't as self-aware as I am now. So The Alchemist also really helped. I too read book after book after book after book after book. And honestly, when I started realizing that I specifically was the common denominator, it was after I... So, like, I knew I needed to go to therapy. But I wasn't ready to go to therapy yet. Like, I feel like you need to be mentally ready to actually go to therapy. Because a lot of times you want to stay in the same cycles that you're in because it's comfortable. It's just whether it's positive momentum, negative momentum, it is a comfortable place because it is familiar. And even if I was self-sabotaging, I knew this self-sabotage. I could acknowledge it, I could stop it, and I could start all over again and do it again. So I think once we moved to Georgia, similar thing to you, and I think once we moved here, I was actually kind of just like, all right, I'm tired of this because it doesn't make sense. Similar to you, Breeze, it doesn't make sense why I keep ending up in this spot. But not only that, it's like I'm doing the stuff. Number one, I was like, why ain't I making no money? But then I was also like, I recognized that this goes back to self-esteem and self-confidence, that my self-esteem and my self-confidence was like wavering. Like when we talked about it as a seesaw, and I recognized that it was actually costing me some opportunities and I wasn't able to dive deeper into my music and just stuff like that. So I realized I was starting and stopping a lot of things. So I would start, I would get a really good start, and then I would just stop and I couldn't figure out why. So then I started going to therapy. And once I started going to therapy, I think it kind of clicked. Actually, was that the start? I think the start of my self-love journey, 2019. For real, for real. But As a Man Thinketh was the start. But yeah, I started going to therapy. I went specifically for starting and stopping things because I had recognized that that was a huge pattern and I just couldn't figure out how to not do that. And also imposter syndrome, because I was doing stuff. Like I was voice acting. I was doing Songfinch. I was doing the sync licensing stuff. It wasn't that great, but I was doing the sync licensing stuff. When we were figuring out a lot of stuff, we had started the podcast and all this other stuff, and I just couldn't figure out why I still felt like somebody was going to pull back this curtain and tell me that I'm not really who I keep saying that I am. And that's when I realized nobody's about to pull back this curtain. I'm the only one here. So yeah, I started going to therapy and that helped, and that helped me be more self-aware, along with all of the books that we read and have been reading, along with me just going deeper into my self-love journey and all of that stuff. So that, I was about to say, did that answer the question? But it was my question. So yeah, that's kind of when I realized that I was the common denominator. Do y'all feel like y'all used to take accountability for the stuff that was happening in y'all lives? Before you had that big realization, did you feel like you used to take any level of accountability for it?
I did. I think you can take too much accountability where you start blaming yourself or beating yourself up for the things that you didn't do. I was in that cycle of like, I knew I made myself feel worse than it actually was. So I'm not doing what I felt like I was supposed to be doing. And I'm acknowledging the fact that I'm not doing it. And instead of it encouraging me to, hey, yo, y'all just zooming through my town like this. Instead of me being encouraged enough to do it, I felt discouraged because I felt like, dang, I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to, like, why am I not doing this? What's wrong with me? That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't. So I'm taking accountability. I know that I'm not doing the right thing, but it didn't make me want to do the right thing more. It just made me feel like I was sinking more into the spiral or whatever it was. So I definitely was. It wasn't until some of the other shits where it's like, all right, it's my fault and I can do something. It just felt like this is my fault. End of sentence. Mm.
Yeah, I would say yes. But I didn't know how to do something different. And nobody around me could give me the answers that I was looking for. So even realizing that, I have to go on this journey of discovery for myself. And essentially by myself until I find the people who are on this journey with me. But yeah, I didn't even know it was other options. Mm-hmm. It was just, I know this same cycle it keeps happening. And I don't like where this is headed. Because I'm not even doing the thing that I know I'm supposed to be doing or the things that I'm supposed to be doing. And just like you were saying, starting and stopping, like we were saying in the last episode about the confidence. I can start anything.
Yeah.
But to keep going.
Follow through.
Yeah. And that's what I was, when I was talking about momentum, sorry, I do want to hear your point, but when I was talking about momentum, I'm realizing now, like, the whole science thing from school, is like, an object in motion stays in motion, an object at rest stays in rest, and I'm realizing that you have to, the object that they're talking about, whatever the object is, you almost have to, it has to be disturbed enough to either move or disturbed enough to stop. So, like, you have to feel a certain way enough, there has to be something that pushes you enough. And usually for us, it has to be us, but that pushes you enough to get up and do something. Or if you're moving too much, there's something that has to move you enough to be like, hey, yo, you have to rest. And it's like that constant push and pull of things happening. Go ahead.
So to that point, I don't know why, and this is a slight side note, but it still goes with it. I was thinking about the concept of inertia a few days ago, and just like you were saying with the momentum, like the object that is in motion, it stays in motion. The way I would stop stuff would be so abrupt. It would literally be like if you were in a car crash or you or whatever object was in motion, if it just like hit a wall and the stuff inside of it still keeps moving forward. And I was realizing the other day that is how bad my burnout was, because I was doing so much stuff and I had so much self-doubt that I basically tuckered myself out. Like, and that's why I would stop, because I would be doing so much stuff, because it goes back to equating what you're doing to who you are, the value of who you are. So I'm like, I have to do more things so that this, who I keep telling people that I am, appears to be real, because I feel like I'm not that. And what would happen is I would hit a wall where I needed to rest, and I wouldn't rest when I, like, if I needed to stop and get gas or something like that, I didn't do that. If I needed to stop, get a little tune up, did not do that. And I just kept going till I finally just hit a wall, and all of me just, like, I guess fell forward, and it's really, I just burnt out. Everything that I had came to a halt at that point, and it felt like I was crashing and burning, which made me feel like I was failing, which made me, like, it was just like a domino effect of just not taking care of myself. As far as accountability, I feel like I would take some accountability, but I wasn't fully taking accountability, because my mindset was,
I'm, you were trained this way.
Well, yes, but my mindset was, you know, I'm destined for greatness. I'm anointed. So, you know, the devil thought he had me. And it's like, everything ain't the devil. Like, this ain't, like, you ate that ice cream when you knew you needed to record. Like, you had that soda before you had to go on stage for that performance. And you knew that you were not supposed to do that because your acid reflux is out of control. So it's like I'm self-sabotaging, but being like, nah, it was the devil. Because the devil, you know, when the more anointed you are, the more you're under spiritual attack. And it's like, nah, you literally just made this stupid decision to have something that you knew was going to destroy whatever you were about to do or whatever you were in the process of doing. And that also put a lot of things on hold. Right? So I don't feel like I was taking real accountability until I started really healing and becoming more self-aware of what I was actually doing, because I don't know.
Even to that point, I was just going to say, it's hard to actually take accountability if you don't know that it's your fault until you actually realize that it's your fault.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially if everybody, nobody else is taking accountability.
Nobody else. So I'm like, oh, well, it has to be the devil.
Can't be me.
I am a child of the Lord.
Yeah.
Why would I ever put ice cream in my hands and then in my bowl and on my
spoon.
Couldn't figure out
what it was.
Yeah, I'm like, the utensil.
That's the wand.
And yeah, it was me. It was definitely me. And I had to learn that I can't use anything else as a scapegoat if I'm actually going to heal from whatever I'm going through, or I'm actually going to grow, because this is my life at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I literally just realized is that the stuff that I wanted didn't change. I'm just now becoming the person who is capable of having the things that I wanted when I started healing.
That's good.
Yeah, it reminds me of, and I never, until I read, again, more books, but until I read The Subtle Art of Not Giving a F, there was a line on a Kendrick song when they were doing, it was always me against the world until I found out it was me versus me. And when I read that book, there was a section in there that was talking about it, and it was just that. Like, it felt like the world was fighting against me. Felt like the devil was conspiring against me, all this, and it's like, it's actually not me against the world. It's always me against me. It's literally always me doing the things. I recognize that I'm gaining momentum, and maybe it scares me. So I'm like, I'm not ready for the pace that I'm moving at. Let me stop this. Or I don't like how I'm currently feeling. I don't know how long I'm going to feel it. I don't want to feel this shit anymore. So every single time, it's always been me versus me. And being able to take accountability has been me not giving up my power to something else that has nothing to do with me.
Because if you think that somebody else or something else is causing this thing, then you feel like you don't have the power to stop whatever it is. Because you're like, I don't know why I did it. And it's like, just stop. Like, literally, just stop. It's once you realize, like, no, this was me. This is me making this decision over and over again. I'm not being influenced. Nobody's pushing me to do this. It's like, all right, well, just make a different decision. And I know that's easier said than done, because, you know, habits.
Yeah, we just talked about it. I don't know if Breeze remember. We were in the kitchen, and I think we were talking about not being present. And I might have asked you. You might have said, yeah, I don't be present at work. And I was like,
I won't be present in life.
Yeah, and I was just like, I
am now, but
that man is, he said,
I take a day off. Mental health.
That man spiraling. Was in fairyland.
I wasn't no fairy.
He's not a fairy, but
nope.
Nope, not at all. But the question, it was like, all right, you know that you're not being present. So why do you keep doing that? And it's like, just stop doing that. And I said, as I was saying it to you, I'm thinking to myself, like, if I know, for me, I'm like, if I know me not being present causes me to start comparing and doing other stuff, just stop doing that. And I know it sounds very like, oh, just stop doing it. If it was that easy, everybody would do it, whatever. But to be honest, it's actually that simple. Like, it's actually that simple. It's just, you have to be aware of the fact that you can just stop doing it.
And you got to be willing to make the decision to stop doing it over and over and over again. Because it's not just as simple as, all right, I'm going to just stop. Like, the next day, you're still going to want to do it out of habit. You got to tell yourself, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do this instead. Like, build a different habit.
And I was just going to say, also, understanding that you have the power and control to actually just stop or change whatever, that changes your environment. So now you're the eyeball out. Before you was fitting in and everybody was doing the same thing. Now it's like, I'm in color now.
Everybody's like,
you just.
The episode of Fairly Odd Parents.
Everybody was great blobs, and he's like, he got on a pink hat. Yeah. Like, what the heck is that?
Now everybody see me and it's like,
jump him!
It's like, I don't fit here anymore. So I have to fight my way out, because everybody want to jump me, or make it seem like I'm the problem. It's like, no, y'all all being great blobs is the problem.
So y'all ain't got no color.
Right.
But nah, and that's what I think, even hearing you say that, or when I was saying like hesitation stops all progress, even if in a negative sense, like in order for you to stop the bad habit, you have to almost catch, you have to catch, have a moment of hesitation where you stop yourself from doing this stuff. Like you getting ready to reach for the bag of snacks and you like, actually, I don't need those.
Listen, I was about to buy some tortilla chips yesterday. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go home. I'm going to go straight home.
Mm-hmm. This is the devil. You put them chips right now, six for me.
And they on sale. They on sale. Buy one, get one free.
Like, of course. He knew. Like, what? It's like, just don't go.
It's a parking spot right in front of the door.
It's like, oh, they restock. Oh, on my favorite chips. Every other chip is in it, but my favorite, they restocked?
They knew I was coming.
There is a guy. Had a long day.
But I went home. So I wouldn't be tempted at all. I just made a different decision.
Had a great meal.
Mm-hmm. That meal was fire.
I made that meal.
So we were just talking about how it's simple to just stop, but how it's not easy. How difficult was it for you guys to actually, like, okay, you acknowledged it, right? You understood nobody's coming to save me. I gotta go ahead and do these changes myself. It's me. How difficult was it then to take action on that thought process to actually make the changes?
The first step for me was being by myself, so isolation. Once I was in solitude, like had my own space, majority of the thoughts became my own thoughts. So once I was able to think my own thoughts, now it's like, okay, I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. Why am I doing this? Mm-hmm. So being aware of it, that was my first step. But the question was, how difficult was it to actually make the changes?
Yeah, like take action on it then.
I would say to take the first steps, it was easy, but I feel like it comes down to environment. Well, not even environment, but your community. Mm. Because I don't have all the answers. Most of the times, I don't have none of the answers. So, so now I got to get around people somehow, some way, who have the answers or a piece of the answer that I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. That'll lead me somewhere else. So now I'm on a new journey. And that's why I was talking about the pink hat. I'm in color now. I had to fight my way through. But now I'm on this journey alone until I find a friend.
Everybody else with the pink hat?
Not even everybody. Mm-hmm. It might just be one person in the distance. And I'm like, ah. But they're in color. So let me keep walking this way. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, once I get to a point where I guess essentially I'm on their level, or I have value to give them as well as them give me value, or it's a reason why we connect and we on the same type of frequency, something like that. Now I'm able to meet this person or talk to this person, be around this person, and then meet somebody that they know or do something. They might give me a book or tell me to listen to this, or I ended up doing personal development class.
Oh yeah.
Soul Academy. That was fire. They don't even do that no more. But that was
for you.
I don't think so. It was, I needed it.
That was for you.
Yeah. There is a God.
Amen.
Oh, of course. Ah. My. But yeah, so it's a continual journey.
Sorry. I gotta handle myself, man. You know something.
It's a continual journey that never stops. Essentially. So even now, I'm learning that. Actually, before now, I learned that all of my cycles and habits stem from perfection and lack. Perfection and lack and feeling like I had to know. Now I'm shifting the mindset the best as I can to from lack to abundance, from perfection to progress. So from lack to abundance.
Perfection
to progression, and
from knowing
everything to not knowing nothing, like being a student, allowing the masters to be masters, and I'm just following their lead. Because life was meant to be easy, I'm gonna stand on that. Life is meant to be easy. Everybody knows something. It's somebody who has the answer that you're looking for. Mm-hmm. You just got to figure out how can I get that answer from them? Whether it be a podcast, a book, a conversation, a letter, an email. You could be ear hustling and overhear somebody say something and then just try it out. And like, oh, that's all you got to do? Or like, and also you have to be in a space where you're ready to receive whatever information. Because even a lot of the financial stuff that I'm learning now, it's not new information. I just wasn't in a space where I was. It's hard to receive financial information when your whole existence is rooted in lack and perfection.
And that you feel like you should already know this information. Yeah, I should already know that. So then it's like, well, I should know this. So I'm not going to listen to what you said.
Yeah. Or it's like, I already know that because I heard it before.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But it's like, you don't know. Because if you knew,
you would be doing you would do. If you knew better, you would do better.
Exactly. Yeah. So.
Yeah. That's good stuff. He had a lot of good stuff in there. I think the original question, I don't remember what it is, so I'm going to just start talking.
Okay.
And whatever comes out, I'm going to let the sauce do what the sauce do. So, I think for me, one of the biggest challenges, it's never really the first step. It's the second and third step for me. Because like, I can start stuff easy, but it's the steps after, like the continuing to do it, continuing to make the new decision over and over, and then like the steps after that is what usually was probably the more challenging thing for me. The things that would typically get me, it was comparison, it was distraction, and it wasn't perfectionism. It was more so, well, I mean, to some degree it was perfectionism. I wanted to deliver it a certain way, and if I couldn't deliver it a certain way, it felt like I didn't want to show anybody nothing until it was ready and that kind of thing. And me not paying attention to everybody else and kind of paying attention to what I'm doing really helped a lot of it. And I have a question, but I wanted to know what yours was. I don't know if you remember what your original question was.
My original question was, how difficult was it to actually take action on
okay.
the things once you realized that you were the problem, right?
Hopefully I answered that then.
I mean, y'all kind of answered it a little bit. Y'all said the first step, both of y'all pretty much said the first step wasn't the issue. It was continuing to make the decisions and to make the changes from there. For me, after acknowledging it, I guess the first step wasn't that difficult. I think knowing what to do next was what kind of stumped me a little bit. Because for me, I kind of got to a point where I was frustrated. And I realized that out of all these times that I've been frustrated with myself, it motivated me enough to think about making a different decision, but I always wound up making the same decision and winding up in the same type of cycle. So I kind of got to a point of frustration to the point where I was like, I don't want to keep doing this. And before it was a frustration where it was like, well, you know, you start beating yourself up about why you didn't finish this thing. And then once I realized like that's not actually helping you get anything done, then I had to kind of look at myself and I'd be like, I don't want to keep doing this and I don't know what to do. And one of my issues was asking for help.
Oh, mine too.
So me not actually asking for assistance in anything because I felt like I should already know things because I'm an adult, I think that hindered me in some ways. Like you said, there's going to be some people down the line that have some type of information, or you might hear something that you might try and da 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 da. And it got to a point where I was just like, I don't know what to do and nobody around me is looking to change, number one, but they're also not looking to do the things that I actually want to do. And I no longer want to be unhappy and feeling judged and in a negative space. So I need to go to someone else or somewhere else to figure out why the hell I keep doing this or I'm not following through. So I think asking for assistance was like one of my first steps. I also just kind of needed to sit with myself. So kind of answering in the way that you guys did. So not asking for assistance or seeking out new resources. That was one of my things. Perfectionism, feeling like I should know everything. But I think that it really boiled down to me learning and understanding me and what I needed. And in order to get there, I had to sit with myself. Because I also didn't just want to get any therapist, and I didn't just want to do anything. I didn't want to just go to therapy and be like, all right, just tell me what I'm supposed to do. Mm-hmm. I got very clear on what things I wanted to change. And that helped me to start taking action on things. Because if you're looking for resources, you're not going to know where to start if you don't even know what you want to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One thing I was going to say, I do have a question. But one thing, so I'm going to ask my question.
You had a question too, right?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you can go ahead.
Don't forget your question. Oh. Question.
You lost it already? Okay. Well, let us know if it come back.
Gotcha.
Go ahead. You lost your question? All right, cool. Okay, I was going to say.
Tell me to hold on. All right. So, my question was going to be, what was the driving emotion for you guys to change? For me, it's always been, not always been, but in the past, it's been anger. The sadness or the frustration doesn't usually motivate me enough, or me being like, dang, being upset or hurt with myself for not doing anything, that doesn't usually help me. It's usually the anger, like, the enough is enough has always, in the past, been one of the strongest driving motivators for me to actually do something about it. So what was the emotion for you guys that actually propelled you to make the changes that you wanted?
You want me to go first?
Okay.
I think that mine was frustration, but it was, frustration stems from anger, but it was a new level of frustration that I hadn't experienced before for myself. It was like, I was tired and frustrated. And I was so frustrated that I didn't know what to do. Like, I wanted to punch something.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been frustrated. You know, I used to get frustrated very easily with things, or annoyed with very easily. But I got so frustrated because once I started to see the patterns and understand the patterns, and I was still making the same choices, I just wanted to punch, I guess, me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was what drove it. It was a combination of frustration, of just kind of being fed up and tired of the same old thing. And maybe I was on the brink of despair. Like, honestly, just really thinking about it, I was on the brink of despair. And I also didn't want to become depressed. So it was like, I need to do something now. What about you?
Mine was disappointment. Mm. So the emotion of disappointment and the feeling of missing out on life, or the feeling of not living life the way that I see myself living life. So, yeah, disappointment. I was tired of feeling disappointed in myself and feeling like I let my family down.
Mm-hmm.
Even this family and friends down. Mm-hmm. Y'all proud of me, I'm doing stuff, but I'm not in a position where I can show up the way I want to show up for the people that I actually care about.
Yeah.
Like, for, like, the important moments and stuff like that. Even taking trips or feeling like I don't have what I need, or I don't have it to do such and such. I don't got nobody to watch my dog, or I can't take her to just somewhere. Or I felt like I was, if I allowed the same patterns to keep happening, I would be stuck.
Yeah.
And then I would look back 15, 20, 30, 40, 5, 50, 60 years.
I'm like, the man 31 says 60, gonna look back 60. Woo! I mean, listen, you wanna be, listen, 100, be 120, man, go for it.
Yeah, but
I'm with you.
Like, I'll look back and be in the same exact position that I was at, that I was in. Like, and it's like, that's what I just realized recently. Well, while we was doing this pod, but I'm gonna preface it like I was telling y'all a couple days ago about painting. If I wasn't able to see how I was gonna paint this painting, mm-hmm. I'm not able to paint it. And I was just thinking about now, as we were recording the podcast, if that's true, and I know that's true, and if that holds true with my life, visualization should be my best friend.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started healing, I was visualizing a lot. Like, every day, I would do a visualization. Granted, the visualization, I just seen myself happy in a green field of grass. I wasn't frolicking, but it was me and my dog. I had everything I wanted, everything I needed. Me with a big smile. I had my car. Not the car I got now, but I had my car. I believe it was, at the time, it might have been a Wrangler, but I don't even want a Wrangler no more. But, like, I seen the stuff, and, visualization, it will be my best friend again.
So, go ahead.
You go ahead.
That made me think of a question now. Because pretty much you said visualization is your biggest tool for healing.
Right? Well, not necessarily healing, but progression.
For progression.
So, to achieve my goals. Mm. If I could see it, I could achieve it.
So, what do you feel like your biggest tool to help with you healing has been?
Thinking my own thoughts and changing the way I think and changing the way I speak to myself. So, my thoughts.
Mm.
So, the stuff that I think about and stuff that I consume. So, the stuff I think about, garbage in, garbage out. Basically, I would say that. The things that I consume and how I speak to myself and about myself.
Okay. What about you?
Curiosity. Hmm. I think me being curious about why things are the way they are, why I am the way I am, has usually, outside of anger, but I think curiosity has ultimately ended up being the thing that actually has transformed me the most. So, sometimes it can be as simple as me stumbling across not nice out of curiosity, right? And me figuring out, this was something that was bothering me. This was something that was hindering me. And a lot of it, or it might be me finding, like, as a man thinking, somebody said something and it sparked some curiosity and intrigue in me. And I'm like, what does that mean for me then? And then I start going through, and then that usually ends up leading me to, like, maybe it'll be a realization, or maybe it will be a level of disappointment. And then usually for me, it doesn't stay with the disappointment. It goes from disappointment, and then it transforms into anger once I realize, like, nah, I'm not having this anymore.
Mm.
And then that energy from the anger ends up pushing me to do stuff, and then I'm like, all right. Then eventually the anger fades, and all I'm left with is the habit that I started. And that's why I was saying sometimes I forget. I don't know if I said it in this one or the last one, but sometimes I forget why I started doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the initial thing that spurred me on was me being angry about something that I didn't like. Mm-hmm. And then after a while, now that I'm in a better place where I don't have to think about it, I'm like, well, why did I do this again? Mm-hmm. So, but generally speaking, it would be curiosity for me. What about you?
Okay. And what do you feel like your biggest tool for progression has been?
Probably curiosity. To be honest, it would either be curiosity or consistency.
Mm.
So one of those things. Because, like, even when it comes to my creative progression, I'll be doing stuff, and then even if it works, I'll be like, all right, cool, this worked. I wonder if I tried it the complete opposite way, would it work? Or if I did this, I wrote this song like this. What if I tried it doing this way? What if I tried doing it this way? And that has usually put me in places where it's like, I couldn't have imagined it. And this is why me and Breeze had this conversation before, but it's funny because there's so many things that I create that I didn't imagine before it came, before it was here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I don't know if it's because I just prefer it to, prefer the mystery and the surprise of it not being what I imagined, but I'm not going into it with the image in my mind to start. I'm usually going into it like, all right, let's see what colors I have. And then let me see what's going on here. And then I eventually stumble across something. But more recently, I've been trying to do it the opposite way, where I'm like, oh, let me see if I have something in my mind first and then go from there. So I think that's been probably been the biggest thing for me right now.
I was just going to say with that, for me, I could, like, as long as I can see it, it's a lot easier for me to move forward. That's not saying how I see it, it has to be that way. Mm-hmm. But if I can see where I'm going, I'm more likely to move forward.
Mm.
Now, what happens when I'm there happens.
Mm.
So whatever the ending outcome, it might look completely different. But I just need the vision so I can move forward, so I can have some type of direction.
What about you?
Well, it's stormy here. So to the Patreon, if the feed cuts off, it's stormy here. We appreciate y'all for being with us.
If a dog barks excessively, it's stormy. I think she good. She in my room, so she should be good.
So, yeah, but y'all will be able to watch the full episode once it's released. My answer, my biggest tool for healing has been letting go.
Why not think of that? Good God.
My biggest tool for healing has been letting go of old ways of thinking, old ways of feeling, of releasing and expressing myself, old ideologies that were taught to me that no longer serve me or that I do not agree with, releasing old habits, old actual things that hold memories for me from certain experiences that weren't good for me. So that has been like my biggest tool for healing, and it took me a long time, a very, very long time to actually learn how to let go and what that means and looks like for me. I literally used to ask Damani when we were in college.
She did.
Like, how do you let go of stuff? Like, what are the steps? Because I didn't even understand the concept. Mm-hmm. I used to actually hold grudges for a very long time. And there are still some grudges that I need to release. That's what I realized a few weeks ago. So letting go has been my biggest tool for healing. And now I'm still learning how to master it. I'm still learning about that. But it's been a great tool for me. And then my biggest tool for progression, I think it has been allowing myself to be more childlike and just do things that I enjoy just for the sake of it. I downloaded some games on my phone and I realized that I've always loved puzzle type of games that make me think. So I have the games on my phone, but they're not just random games. It's like matching games or games where you got to figure out how to get out of something or whatever. And it just brings me so much joy. So if I feel any type of stress or something, if I'm not doing a somatic exercise, or if I just need a break from working on something, it might even be like my music or whatever. I could just do a level on the game and then put it down. And I don't have to beat myself up about it and be like, oh, well, you weren't working or you didn't do this or you didn't do that. I can just enjoy the game for the sake of enjoying the game and then put it down and go back to what I want to do. You know, go back to building my dream life and changing my reality. And I think that those moments as adults we lose sight of, and we forget to allow ourselves to enjoy the things that we've always enjoyed because we try to tell ourselves that it's childish. And I don't care anymore. I do not care. You can call me childish. I got games in my phone. Okay? Can you play them? No, get your own, okay? But it's been something that's been helping me with my progression so that I'm not taking everything so seriously. And it just reminds me that I can go outside, that I can do the things that I loved as a child. And it's okay. Life is meant to be enjoyed. Life is meant to be easy, like Bree said. So I'm going to do that. And if that means playing the game or that means going outside for a walk or whatever it is, I'm just going to do it because I like to do that stuff. But do you guys have any final thoughts on what were we talking about?
The original topic was being
denominator. Do you guys have any final thoughts on you being the common denominator in all of your problems and realizing that you might be the problem? Sorry.
I mean, my only thought would be that it's always you, especially it's your life. So of course you're going to be the common denominator. You always have a choice. Mm-hmm. And I think making sure that we're not giving our power to things, again, and that's us, that's always a choice as well. Not giving our powers to things, to other things, and convincing ourselves that we're helpless, because we're not.
Right.
So make your decisions knowing that you have the power to make your own decisions.
What about you?
Just you, the main character in your story. So everything starts and ends with you.
That's good. Take accountability and don't ignore the red flags. That also means your own red flags. If you see a pattern that is leading you to a situation or a space in your life that you don't like to be in, acknowledge that pattern and just start to work out how you're going to make a change.
See something, say something.
Exactly. See something, say something, do something.
I was about to say that. Don't forget that, do something.
Yeah. When it comes to you, make sure you're doing something as well. Take action on it. But thank you guys for joining us for another episode of the Gray Area Podcast. I'm Shaquille D.
Badman breathing to the ear.
It's your self-assured friend, Damani.
And thank y'all for joining us for another episode. If you like this episode,
you'll love the next one.
Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. Tell a friend and tell a friend and tell a friend. Hit that notification bell so you never miss an upload. Ding! And if you want to join in on the conversation, please make sure you join our Patreon. We record our podcast at least 1 to 2 months in advance. So join the Patreon to join in on the conversation. And also comment below. Let us know, did you realize you were the problem? And what did you do? But we will see you guys next week. Check out the next episode here. And yeah, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye. Adios.
Stay blessed. Stay black, baby.
You say what?
And know yourself. Know your worth.
Jukebox, hit me with another J.
Ah, get on my face. Get on my face. Get on my
Get on my motherfucking face.
Please.
Push the goddamn button.